Well, just for a little bit of review, what separates us? I know some of these are going to be basic questions, but what separates us from God?
Sin.
Okay. So sin, and what exactly is sin?
Transgression of the law.
Okay, transgression of God's law or lawlessness. What does sin earn us?
Death.
Okay. So the wages of sin is death. So we need to a way for us to overcome sin. And the second part of that verse in Romans 6:23, it also says that the free gift of God is eternal life. So we understand that as well. And in our last class, we were talking about we were looking at this idea of atonement. So what is atonement?
Payment for something that you don't have payment for.
Okay.
Reconciliation.
Okay, reconciliation. Okay. And we see, or we saw that how the term was used in the Old Testament, because we looked at some examples of how it was used in the Old Testament. What was the idea? What did we see in the Old Testament that they were doing? I know that's not a real clear question.
They were
offering. Okay. See, Linda knew where I was going.
Yeah, the priests were offering.
Okay.
Sacrifice.
Yes, ma'am. So the priests were offering sacrifice. So we saw this idea of offering, and or they also use the term sometimes make atonement. So
Yom
this.
Kippur is. The Jewish still celebrate that Yom Kippur,
Yom Kippur.
Atonement.
Okay. And so this was in order to receive atonement. And we see that with these offerings, that's what was happening. And they were also, the idea of the atonement is for forgiveness or to be made clean. We looked at a couple verses in Leviticus. 4:20 was one of them. At the end of the verse, you see the idea where it said, "And they will be forgiven." And in 14:20, we saw the idea of that he will be clean. So this is just some of the terms that we saw. But then we look at Hebrews, and it tells us that the blood of bulls and goats can't make us clean. So these sacrifices, and I think we looked at those verses. Let me jump over here. Yes, I think we did. And these sacrifices were looking towards something, because we saw the idea. It says in Hebrews that these were things of they were a shadow of things. So we understand what the idea of sacrifice, what the sacrifice is, and is looking towards the sacrifice of Christ. And one thing we're going to get into, I think we did start looking at some of it, but we'll see this idea of a perfect sacrifice. So this greater. And I just answered my question. Okay. Because I was going to ask what kind of offering was made as far as for us to ultimately overcome sin. And that's a perfect sacrifice.
Our sins were just carried forward from one year to another, so they really weren't forgiven or wiped away.
Okay.
Whereas the blood of Christ
goes back
and washed away all those sins.
Okay.
Those. Today, that's the difference.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah, because this can cover it once for all, huh? And during our class, the idea was also brought up about faith. You know, who can be saved from sin? It's not a trick question. Anybody? Okay. Well, the only reason why I worded it that way, because when we were talking about that in the last class, you know, somebody brought up the idea of how some people don't think that they're able to overcome sin because of the life that they live. And that's the only reason why I worded it that way. But yes, anyone that trusts and believes in the atoning blood of Christ and acts upon it. So, you know, we looked at examples of David and Paul, and we have examples of men that had made mistakes, but we see that they can overcome these things. And just one thing for us to think about, and when I worded this, I didn't know who I was going to be in the class. So if one doesn't overcome sin, it's not because the provisions aren't there. Okay, that's one thing we've got to realize. And that's something that we can use or try to explain to other people. You know, God's provided a way. And this way is provided for everyone. So, you know, just kind of thinking of that idea of if they don't believe that they can be saved because the things that they think are so horrible, you know, that way is provided for all. But we've got to be able to trust in it and act upon it. So salvation was provided for all, but as we've looked at before, not all are going to obtain that. And not all trust in it, and not all are willing to strive to live the life they should.
Some people think that they can't be forgiven. They can't forgive themselves. They have a problem forgiving themselves. You know, God said He'll forgive you. Some people still have a problem forgiving themselves for what they've done.
Right. So you mean stuff that they've already maybe repented of, and they're trying to live right, but they still are...
I have a problem with it. They go, well, you have to trust in God. God said He's going to forgive you.
Right.
So you have to believe, if you have the faith that you're supposed to have.
Right.
Then you should be able to forgive yourself and go ahead with your life and do whatever you
want. Yeah, because if the one we're separated from, if we trust in what He says, then we should forgive or
accept. Right. Accept, because He wants you to accept.
Yes, sir. Good point.
Besides the point in Hebrews 9, verse 14, it says, "I will cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God." And I think, you know, that's some of the assurance, is that this sacrifice of the Lamb of God, of Jesus, that our conscience can be clean to be able to serve God with good works. First Peter 3, we're looking at, the idea of baptism. You can appeal to God for that clear conscience, you know, with regards to our relationship with Him. You know, any sin that we've done in our past, it's all been like in our sanctuary.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And John, in 1 John 5, addresses the fact that the victory. And who is born of God overcomes the world, our faith. And then down below that, if we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For the witness of God is this, that He has borne witness concerning His Son. In verse 10, the one who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him to be a liar. And so when it really comes down to it, you know, if you believe and have faith in the blood of the atonement of Jesus, you know, then it is a witness, and God says, you are clean, you know, and that I'll give you eternal life. So it's just, it's a matter of faith.
Faith. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Okay. I will just go into where we kind of left off. We already looked at Hebrews 10:4, where it talks about, of course, it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. In John 1:29, oh, we did look at that. 1 Peter 1:18. So we see that in 1 Peter 1:18 through 19, we're not redeemed with perishable things like silver or gold from your futile way of life inherited from your forefathers, but with the precious blood as a lamb unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ. And in 1 John 1:7, we see also on the later half of it that the blood of Christ cleanses us. So just mainly at that point I was looking at the idea of being cleansed by the blood of Christ.
Right?
Yes, sir.
You were looking at the word atonement.
Mm-hmm.
In the New Testament there's a word that's very similar to that. It's the propitiation.
Okay.
Where atonement's kind of built in that, and Christ is our propitiation. While you're there in John, in Second John, chapter 2, verse 2, you actually have the word propitiation. So another good word that kind of in the New Testament is very similar to atonement. And we also find it in 1 John 4:10, 1 John 2:2, and 1 John 4:10.
2:2, 4:10. Okay, so propitiation. Let's look over at Hebrews 10. Hebrews 10, verses 10 through 12. By this we will have been sanctified through the offering of the body of Christ once for all. Every priest stands daily ministering and offering time after time the same sacrifices which can never take away sins. But he, having offered one sacrifice for sins for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. And I believe someone had just brought up part of that verse as well. And also in 1 Peter.
Was that somebody?
No.
Oh, it was the wind? No.
1 Peter 3:18. But grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be the glory. Wait, I'm in the wrong one. Well, I still get verse. That's a good point. So 1 Peter 3:18. Ah, this is the right one. For Christ also died for the sins once for all, the just for the unjust, so that he might bring us to God, having been put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. And one more in Hebrews 7. Hebrews 7:27. Says that who does not need daily, like those high priests, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, because he died once for all when he offered up himself. So we see this idea of this sacrifice one time for all. Any comments or thoughts or no? Okay.
One quick thing.
Yes, sir.
Just right back up on reconciliation, atonement. That 2 Corinthians 5, we can talk about preaching Jesus in this class.
Okay.
We can talk about preaching the gospel. But this gives us another angle, because 2 Corinthians 5, we use the idea of ministry of reconciliation and the word of reconciliation. Both of them are used there. So that's an approach to talk to someone.
Right.
Okay, it's filled with reconciling back to God. Okay? Especially the one who seems to be loaded down with sin. So I think that's the hindrance in coming back to God.
Okay.
I try to explain to people that being a Christian, it's a lifelong change and journey.
Okay.
If not, you just get baptized, you're a Christian, and all your problems cease. You stop sinning. You know, God opens up.
You're not perfect right exactly. After you're baptized?
Yeah, and I actually use 1 John 1:8, where it says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So I tell them, even as a Christian, you have to get on your knees and ask God day in and day out to forgive us for our trespasses.
Okay.
It doesn't stop just being baptized.
Right. And that,
I think that's the deception people have, that people who are Christians who were supposed to be all perfect, and they see a Christian, they have nothing but a bunch of hypocrites, and they use that excuse. They use that as an excuse not to, accept Christ as their Lord and Savior.
Yeah, because you'll see almost two sides of that, because sometimes, hang on, went blank for a second. It'll come back. let me come back to that then. Man, that's not supposed to happen.
Any other comments?
We'll move on for a second. I'll probably come back to that when it hits. So lesson 9, we're going to look at the idea of grace and mercy, and the love that's shown for us. Oh, as far as what I told you, I'd get back there. Now don't make me forget. But some people, it's almost the idea when they talk to you or something, they'd say, because they know you're a Christian, but they'll make comments such as, but this doesn't happen because you're a Christian or whatever. And maybe they mean because you're striving to stay away from those things, but a lot of the times it seems like they mean that Christians are, that means you're perfect. But it's far from that. I mean, we're not perfect. That's the whole idea. But we do understand that we're not perfect, and that we can't live a perfect life. Then that we need help with that.
Yeah, they are under the assumption that Christ died for goody two shoes, but it's for sinners He died.
Yeah. Yeah.
And thinking that God's protecting you, that you have a protection around you, keeps you from.
So nothing bad happens to you.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah.
Not true, though, huh? Yes, sir.
Great. On this lesson on atonement, there's something behind that I think is really important for us to remember. And that is, why do we need atonement? We know that we need atonement because of our sins, because we're all condemned.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's probably true that most people in the world don't think there's a problem. They think everything's fine, lovely. They don't recognize their condemnation of what sin has done for them and the need for atonement. And I think one of the things we need to try to do is show people that there's a condemnation, that they're sick and they don't realize it. And once they see that need, maybe they will start seeing the gospel and understand the need for it. So I think one thing, especially for the lost, is we need to make sure that you know, they see the condemnation.
They understand their position.
And that's the reason why we need atonement.
Yes, sir. Good point.
Craig is a guy at work I've tried to talk to a couple of times, and every time we talk, his idea is he lives his life here on the earth how he wants to. Basically, it's going to be all God's decision when he gets to the pearly gates. He doesn't have anything that he has to do, really, but to live here, and then it's all up to God.
So he doesn't think that it either way you go, it doesn't really matter.
Right.
Predestined.
You're okay. Yeah. Yeah. More of the predestined idea.
Sounds like predestined.
Yeah. How sad, isn't it?
It's just the way I am, and I sin, and I don't have, you know,
I can't help it.
Is going to cover that, yeah. But John also covers that, especially in chapter 3. He says everyone who fixes their hope on him purifies himself, as he is pure. And so it's a changing, it is a striving to be more like Jesus. It's not, yes, I've got sin in my life, and, you know, and I can't. It's Jesus' blood, you know, I'll repent, but not ever trying and striving to change and be better and be more like him. I know quite a few people, and we've been following the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
I have, you know,
yeah.
that I can pray and Jesus is going to forgive me. He will, but not if he knows my heart. And
right.
He sees what I'm doing.
Right.
And sometimes we play Russian roulette with Jesus' blood.
Yes.
And, you know, and that's not going to get us to be more like Christ or to get us to heaven.
Right. Or people might just say, well, they're willingly going to do something they know they shouldn't. And this, well, I'll just repent later. Well, that says something about your attitude. And that's dangerous.
That's another gospel. The gospel of Satan.
All good comments. Any more before we go to lesson 9?
You know, I was thinking about the idea that people have about how that God's protecting the Christian. It says there that he won't let you be tempted more than you're able to withstand.
Right.
So I think maybe that might be a scripture that in the back of their head is maybe supporting that idea. I think.
I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So along with that, he also gives us an avenue to help us with that temptation.
Mm-hmm.
And it, for those that are thinking that are not Christians yet and they're still under the impression that, well, God's not going to give me more than I can withstand, then they also need to realize that he hears the prayers of a righteous man, and that way out, or that way out of that temptation, is through prayer also. That if you're not living as a Christian, or if you're not under that, I don't even know the word I'm thinking of.
Only one of us can forgive while we're
here. I told you, neither one of us can forget anything right now.
Well, they would have to go as far as the book of Job to find out God. God lets free will to exercise.
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
He's not running. He won't make people believe. He won't make them follow him.
Right. He doesn't make anybody. Choose. Yeah, it's offered, and then it's up to the individual. They're free moral agents. Yes, sir.
Even among people who profess to be believers in God, will have that same confirmation in their heart sometimes about how they are right with God, not because they're doing His will, but because something happened in their life, which may have been a blessing for God.
Right.
But something happened and it confirmed their belief that they're okay with God. Whether it was they prayed about something like children or something that it came to pass, and they feel this safety net. Well, you know, if you just wait and God answers your prayers, and that's what their faith is to them. And it just stops there. And that is incorporation. So, you know, people that are outside of the world, they have a belief about, well, I feel like I'm okay with whatever.
Right.
And even people that profess know God, they may have that attitude that I'm okay with God because such and such a event occurred.
And like you said, that might have been just an event that was there for them to open their eyes, but then they to change their life. But then that might not necessarily, they don't take the opportunity. Okay, let's go to Romans 5. We're going to read Romans 5, 6 through 9. Says, for while we were still helpless, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will hardly die for a righteous man, though perhaps the good man someone would dare even to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. We just looked at how there had to be an offering to overcome the result of sin. And we looked at some examples in the Old Testament that helps us with the understanding of sacrifices for atonement. Then we also looked at this at Hebrews, this idea of a shadow of things. But we think about this precious blood. Think about what we just looked at here in Romans. It said that yet while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by His blood. So this blood or this death justifies those that partake in it, and says that we shall be saved from the wrath of God through Him. So that's the idea, kind of like what Rocky was talking about, you know, because this wrath of God, and this is how we can overcome that. Because again, we looked at the idea that death was something due because of sin. So we need to keep that in mind for ourselves, and also, like Rocky brought up, you know, explaining that to other people, because that might be something that's helpful to them, that they would. Gives them a better understanding of things, why we need this blood of Christ and that He is the atonement. So we see this idea in 1 Peter 1:19. It says, "His precious blood is the Lamb, unblemished and spotless, the blood of Christ." Which we already read that. So think about this idea of this love, this mercy, and this grace. It's only through Jesus Christ that we can overcome what is due us. He is the answer for sin, our atonement. And consider who He is and why He came. Now, some of the first verses I put on here are ideas that we're going to see. One of the things it's going to point to about that He is the Son of God. And we'll also see some of the verses will show how he was sent by God. And let's start with John 3:16. Probably don't need to turn there because I'm sure everybody can quote it, but we'll. So John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him shall not perish, but have eternal life." And also in chapter 8, we can just jump over to chapter 8. Verse 24 says, Therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, for unless you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. In John 10, John 10, 29 and 30. Says that my Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one. John 17.
John 10, read verse 15. I know you're talking about the Father's journey, but Jesus says, I'll lay down my life. You know, he laid it down. He had the ability to lay it down and to take it up.
Mm-hmm.
And John 1 starts out with Jesus being God. And,
we're going to get to that one in a minute.
And then the Father, and he goes, well, they're one, but Jesus came and he laid down his life. But God, it was God's plan for this to be.
Yes, ma'am. Let's see. John 17:21. Let's see. There we go. That they may all be one, even as you, Father, are in me, and I in you, and that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. Let's go over to 1 John. 1 John 5:10. Through 13. Said, the one who believes in the Son of God has the testimony in himself. The one who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed in the testimony that God has given concerning his Son. And the testimony is this, that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. He who has the Son has the life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have the life. These things I have written to you who believe in the name of the Son of God, so that you may know that you have eternal life. And John 5:36. We'll start about the middle part of the verse there. It says, for the works which the Father has given me to accomplish, the very works that I do testify about me that the Father has sent me. And the Father who has sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time or seen his form. You do not have his word abiding in you, for you do not believe him who him, let me say that again, believe him whom he sent. You search the scripture because you think that in them you have eternal life. It is these that testify about me. So we're seeing some of these, this idea of Christ being the Son of God. And we also see this idea that you know, he was sent by God. Ephesians, let me see what time we have. Yeah, we have time. Let's look at Ephesians 1. Okay, in Ephesians 1, 3 through 13, and one of the reasons why I wanted to look at this, when we look at this, we're going to see a couple of different things. We understand from Ephesians that it's talking about, especially in the first three verses, talk about first three chapters, talk about the blessings that we have in Christ. But when we look at that, we're going to see this idea of how God the Father has blessed us through Christ. So we'll see that, and then throughout these verses also, we're also going to see this idea of this mercy and this grace that was shown upon us. So Ephesians 1 verses 3 through 13 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessings in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him for the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us in all wisdom and insight. He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him," or in Christ, "with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens and things on the earth in Him. Also, we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we, who were the first to hope in Christ, will be the praise of His glory in Him. You also, after listening to the message of the truth of the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him, the Holy Spirit of promise." So we see a lot of this in Him, in Christ, this idea of these blessings that we have in Christ. But we also see threaded through that this was from the Father. And that's one thing, especially in Ephesians, you know, if you go through and you mark some of those verses in different colors, this idea of God and of Christ and the different words that are used, because as you're reading, you're going to have to figure out just from the context who they're speaking of. But once you start marking through that and you just see all this popping out at you like that, it's a wonderful blessing that we have, and it just described over and over, you know, with different words, these spiritual blessings that we have in Christ. So this idea of grace and mercy that was shown upon us. You know, said that we were adopted as sons. You know, when you think of that, you know, think of what has been allowed to us. You know, it's a wonderful thing. And it said that His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved, or in Christ. I think we're about to get buzzed, so we'll go ahead and we'll pick up at He is God.
I just think a lot of people get caught up and they get reading through these verses and they see that word predestined.
Right.
It throws them off, you know. And